Dirk's first pitch experience coming up in 20 minutes right now at 9:15 on a Thursday morning. It's Gordo's Corner brought to us by Baker Brothers Plumbing and Air and Burleson Honda.
Thanks, Miller Man. All right, I teased in the garden with a vegetable, and it is a crazy story. But as I sit here and go over my material that I have prepared for the Fermi paradox discussion, I realize we need all the time we can get.
All right.
As we mentioned yesterday, the chances of there being another planet out there that is like Earth, I went through all the math and how many stars are in the galaxy, how many galaxies are in the universe. There's as many galaxies in the universe as there are stars in our galaxy. It's just an overwhelming number. And when you pare all this information down, there is a potentially habitable Earth-like planet orbiting at least 1% of the total stars in the universe, which means there is a total of 100 billion billion Earth-like planets. And after billions of years in existence, 1% of those Earth-like planets, let's say, develop life. So if that's true, every grain of sand on our Earth would represent one planet with life on it. And if 1% of those planets had life that advances to an intelligent level like it did on Earth, that would mean that there are 10 quadrillion or 10 million billion intelligent civilizations in the observable universe. So, we estimate that there are 1 billion Earth-like planets and 100,000 intelligent civilizations in our galaxy. So that's where we're going to start from.
In everybody's galaxy.
100,000 intelligent civilizations in our galaxy. Now remember this. When you look at the scope of the universe and the scope of time, the technology and knowledge of a civilization only 1,000 years ahead of us right now would be as shocking to us as our world would be to a medieval person.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how much life has changed in 1,000 years, which is so infinitesimal on the large scale of time. 1,000 years is nothing.
Somebody from medieval times just appeared in this studio, their brain would explode. They wouldn't be able to comprehend
right.
what they were seeing.
Just the materials this mm-hmm. studio is made out of.
The TVs.
These weird things. The TVs. Picture boxes up there. The fact that we're all looking at these screens and somehow deriving a lot of information that our brains and memory have been offloaded onto these machines that are sitting in front of us.
The T-shirts and shorts and tennis shoes.
What? the handsomeness that I've, represent, that human beings have been perfected.
About that.
Anyway, and that's just 1,000 years. This is not even taken into account if we hit super intelligent AI, in which our progress will start advancing so much more rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
It gets exponential at that point, not just linear, which is the way the last 1,000 years has kind of gone. Okay, so imagine a civilization that is 1 million years ahead of us. It would be totally incomprehensible to us. It would be like what our culture must look like to an ant. Or an insect. They can't even comprehend what they're seeing or sensing.
Right.
So, you have, when it comes to civilization, something called the Kardashev scale.
Kardashian scale.
Let's just go with that for
sure. I know
who
they are.
A type 1 civilization has the ability to use all the energy on their planet. We're not even a type 1 civilization yet. Although we're close. Carl Sagan estimated we were at 0.7. right now, since we've harnessed nuclear power. Type 2 civilization can harness all of the energy of their host star. So we can even hardly comprehend this, harnessing all the power. You would not believe how powerful our sun is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a type 2 civilization. Now, type 3 civilization completely blows these other ones out of the water because they can access the power of the entire galaxy that they're in. So that level of advancement is very hard to believe. But if we have this proposed Planet X out there that we're talking about, they could be 3.4 billion years ahead of us in development, which means, I guess, technically they could have the power of their galaxy at their disposal, which they would need in order to colonize that galaxy and galaxies beyond it.
By the way, to type two, remember we talked about this a year ago, how we are on pace to eventually be 100% solar powered on this planet. It's going to take a little while, and I think right now we're only something like 4%.
Right.
So think how far we are from being 100% in level two or type two.
Right. And that's not even, I don't even think that's what they mean by type two, although that is a form, a shadow of it. I think they're also talking about harnessing the actual, like, nuclear power that's within the sun itself, too. Okay, so if 1% of intelligent life survives long enough to become a potentially Type 3 galaxy-colonizing civilization, according to calculations, there should be at least 1,000 Type 3 civilizations in our galaxy alone.
Wow.
That's a lot.
There should be, according to these calculations.
And if they have that kind of advanced technology, they
why
should be
we,
able to travel.
Right, and why haven't we seen them? Their presence should be certainly noticeable to us, even if they don't come and visit us. We should be able to detect them out there. So this is the Fermi paradox. Since there must be 1,000 of these, according to the calculations, inside our galaxy, why haven't we seen them? So the explanations come in form of, one explanation is there's no signs of a higher civilization, a type 2 or a type 3 civilization, because there are no higher civilizations like that to detect. That's one explanation. Another explanation is the great filter. That is that there's something that prevents people, or I'm just going to say people, right? Mm-hmm. Civilizations, from getting that far. There's some great filter. What is that great filter? One is that the great filter has already happened, and we are on the other side of the great filter, in that the likelihood of life is so great and strange that we've somehow passed that great filter and we're the result of it, so that we are the most advanced because we passed the great filter already. Other people say that the great filter could have been at the very beginning of life itself. The fact that there is life could have been the great filter, rather than intelligent life being the great filter, that we passed over into intelligent life. And then the other possibility is that it's in front of us, the great filter is, and the great filter is the thing that prevents you from getting to the Type 3 civilization, because in harnessing power, civilizations tend to destroy themselves.
I think that's the most believable.
Yeah.
I do too. In that you cannot sustain. Think about how we feel on the brink. It wasn't until 1945 that we had the ability to destroy the planet, basically. And probably a little bit after that, we had to develop a number of nuclear weapons and get them more advanced. But we certainly now are able, finally able, to destroy our entire planet, our entire world. And that has happened so recently in history. And it's been a tedious white-knuckle ride ever since then.
Right,
yeah. And not that long a time period, really.
In a very short period of time, we've been white-knuckling it to keep it on the road. Now, you try to imagine us being able to keep that power in check as it proliferates across the globe to other people who are much more comfortable with blowing up the planet. How will we ever get to a Type 2 civilization or a Type 3 when our greatest weakness is ourselves? We harness power that we then are not capable of handling with responsibility. And so that is the great filter that prevents civilizations from ever getting to the point where they could travel interstellarly.
So ultimately, we are to believe, if we believe that's the most logical, we're to believe that there is not one civilization out there that is so advanced that they can see that coming and avoid it. That every single one of them falls into that trap of self-destruction.
Right. That's one explanation.
It's hard to believe that one hasn't gotten through it, that one isn't on such a level of higher thinking that they haven't gotten through it. But it does explain the numbers. If there are 1,000 in our galaxy that should be able to visit us, well, that does make sense that maybe 998 of them have destroyed themselves.
Yeah, they're self-limiting.
Yeah.
Another possibility is that superintelligent life has developed, but we've already been visited a long time ago. Like it was, and so they've been here and done that. So
they built
not,
the pyramids and then went
Yeah,
down.
And then they were done.
Right.
So that's why we're not being visited or seeing the evidence now, is they're long gone from here.
That kind of makes sense, too.
Mm-hmm.
We were boring and they left.
And they just passed right on by. Other explanations are they are so advanced that there's evidence all around us of them, but we are way too less advanced to even perceive what that evidence is.
I've always said that. Remember, I've always believed that that's very possible, that they are in our midst, but we cannot detect them. We can't trace them. We always think they're going to be about 5'10", 6 feet tall. Well, what if they don't look anything like us? What
right.
if they're in different forms, different dimensions that are not detectable to our eye? I think that's very possible.
It's like, an example in this piece is, imagine that we have an anthill in the middle of a forest, and right next to the anthill, they're building a 10-lane superhighway. The question is, would the ants be able to understand what a 10-lane superhighway is?
No.
So we can't understand
what's going on over there. I have no idea what
it is, may be going on around us. Another idea is that, and we talk about this in our own advancement in nanotechnology, in things getting smaller and smaller, and where the real heart of everything in the future is in smallness on the nuclear scale and subnuclear scale, right? And so with nanotechnology, that's where advanced civilizations go. And so advanced civilization is so tiny, it moves all throughout our world mm-hmm. on such a small level that we can't detect it.
And maybe there are moments where we can detect it, like the light flash here a couple of nights ago, the cube that flies between the two Navy mm-hmm. pilots. Maybe occasionally our senses can grasp it or see it, or we just get a little hint of it, but we can't comprehend the larger thing that is giving us these little hints or indications.
Yeah, maybe those things have happened. It's being that information is being suppressed in secret files.
What the government knows.
Oh, yeah.
That there's alien life right here, mm-hmm. moving between our atoms.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. Have you ever stopped to consider that we just may be part of an atom of something that's so much bigger than us and the world that it just doesn't make sense? It's like to the electron. Do they think about an electron in your body, George? Are they thinking too much about you over there driving your F-150 as
no.
you're going home? No. It doesn't have any sense of that. And we may be part of something that's much bigger than us. When you look at the scale of the universe, there's a great website that you can spend hours on called The Scale of the Universe. And it shows you just where we stand on that scale. And where would you guess that a human being is on the scale of the universe? Now, imagine the universe going as big on the right side of the continuum and as small as it can go on the left side of the continuum. This is the known universe.
Oh,
right?
We got to be
observable universe.
Really close to the small end.
Wrong. We are weighted towards the expanse of the universe. We are over halfway towards the expanse of the universe. The universe is actually much bigger, much smaller than us, than it is bigger than us going that way on the continuum, which
Speaking
that
of
freaks me out.
Physical size.
The universe
wow, that
is much
me.
Bigger, smaller than us, than it is bigger than us.
That shocks me.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I had a hard time wording it, but yeah. How freaky is that?
It shocks me because when you think about it on the small side, you think of breaking down your body.
Mm-hmm. And you think, well, it can only get so small, but it keeps
right.
going and keeps going
yeah.
and keeps going small.
Okay, that makes sense.
Before you get to nothing.
But when you think about it on the big side, and if the universe is never ending,
mm-hmm. right.
it seems like we'd be on the small side.
Does that freak you out?
Wow.
You know, the other hypothesis is that we are in what is essentially a zoo. That there is a super intelligent universe, but we exist as kind of a zoo for them.
For Martians?
Well, that we are a little small universe that they have basically in a lab somewhere. There's
wow.
Nick Bostrom has done work about how this is basically a computer simulation. What we are in right now is a type of computer simulation that we're convinced is real because we are characters that are in it.
That's
he's actually pretty convincing about it when he read out his whole paper. It's shocking stuff when you realize our version of reality is not, it is a reality. It's not the reality.
Right.
We mistakenly think that by mediation of our sense perception, we are getting an accurate view of the world. And it is so wrong to think of it that way. Because what is reality to the ant? Look at his life. That's what the world looks like to him.
Right.
What's the reality to the atom that's in the tip of your finger? You know, that's just a water molecule inside your body. You know, that has a certain outward look to it. And it's all relational. When you look at the size of an atom, there's another freaky stat I always give, is that when you look, I think it's a hydrogen atom. So imagine a hydrogen atom, and you have your nucleus, and you have, what is it, one electron that circles that nucleus of that. So there is, think of a head of a pin is that nucleus. And then the electron is traveling around it, would be the size of an Empire State Building. So if you blew up one atom of hydrogen to the size of the Empire State Building, in the center of it would be a pencil point that is the nucleus. So there's more empty space inside matter than there is empty space outside of matter, is an odd way of putting it. But think about how much empty space there is in one atom, when all the matter that's in there is that nucleus, and then you have to go all the way out an Empire State Building worth to get to the next piece of matter inside there.
That's why I've always thought this way, and maybe because I was obsessed with sci-fi and space when I was a kid. But I quoted that professor a couple of weeks ago who said it's arrogant of us to think that we are it. You know, there are infinite possibilities.
Or is it?
There are infinite possibilities that we are not it. And that's why I like going to the mountains to feel very small, to try to put myself in perspective in the universe, because I think so much of our daily routine is we're the boss of everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're the biggest thing in this cubicle. We rule our house. We get this warped mindset of this is as good as it gets. This is as smart as it gets in the universe. We're the king of everything. And in reality, we're so small.
However, we may be alone. So maybe we are the pinnacle of existence.
It's possible.
Because there has to be a pinnacle of existence somewhere in the universe, right?
Right.
And whoever that pinnacle of existence is, they're sitting around saying, there's no way we're the pinnacle of existence, because it's so rare for
right.
us to be here that we can't be. So who knows? Which is it?
All right, thanks. That's the corner.
I want to see
deep
pretty girls.
Coming up next, Dirk's first pitch.